Hey, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters.
Come here, buddy.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. King Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord of all the universe. All praise to Him we give.
Okay, one more. Yeah. Okay. Are we starting?
Praise Him, sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail, King, highest earth, angels in glory. Trumpet, on earth, He proves His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His angels. In His arms, He carries them all belong. Praise Him, fill up His exalted and greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail, Jesus the crucified. Sung His praises, Jesus the water of sorrow. Love abounding, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, fill up His excellent greatness. Praise Him, deliver in joyful call. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly Lord, Thou beloved Hill that has been. Jesus, Savior, reign forever and ever. But He from me, blessed and praise the King. Christ is coming, ever the world victorious. Power and glory, after the Lord belongs. Praise Him, fill up His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Amen. Okay.
Amen. So they can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for blessing us with Your presence. Thank You for the changing of the showbread a few moments ago. And thank You for giving us an opportunity today to share our testimonies and praise unto You for all that You have done and continue to do. Thank You for blessing us with Your presence all throughout the service. Thank You for giving us good memory of the things that You have done. And blessing those that listen with edification and the desire to strengthen their faith as well. And again, we lift up all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, who is our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right, should we set a time limit on this? Because I know how you people get. So just let me know, like, in about an hour if we want to shut down early, because we usually do at least an hour and a half, 2 hours. I remember the first time we did like 3 or 4 hours or so. We'll stop tomorrow morning? Okay, that's good. There you go. All right, looks like the first one up here is Brother Craig. Well, actually, no. I'm going first. You know, I got the mic. All right, so I'm just going to repeat some of the praises that we had last night, because some of them were pretty good. And, I'm getting it from our brother here from the Netherlands there. He's sending me a PM. I'm married. I'm praising the Lord for that, brother. You know, amen. If you want to share it later, too, that's up to you, but... he sent me a PM earlier, says, praise the Lord, I'm married. Or what did he say? He goes, have a blessing, I'm a married man now. When you have time, could you change my email? So, yeah, send me an email, brother, when you get a chance for the username change that you want, and I'll just do that on the server sometime this week. Anyway, I got a couple of praises here that I wanted to share that I shared last night, and then I got a couple from, I got one missing here. Somebody sent me earlier, Linda Patton June, I'm definitely going to, they sent me something, an email that I want to share too. And, that's if it's okay with them. I'm pretty sure that that's why they sent it. So if you didn't send it for that reason, then just send me a PM, sisters. But, this is what I shared last night. I just got word, and I'm not going to say the country that they're in, okay? Because this, we got to be careful, because there are people out there that claim to be Seventh-day Remnant, and they're not. Their fruits are overwhelmingly confirming this. And so we have to be careful, you know, with stating locations on these new churches. But I just got word from, I've been approached, and I kind of got Brother Craig involved in this too, because of the nature of the approach. And we're working with the guy now. And well, you all know about the seven or eight leaders from those other churches around the world, like mostly in the EU, that are going to join our number, that are already calling themselves Seventh-day Remnant. And we're going to have a meeting soon. So the email's out. I've already gotten a couple of responses. And so we just got to figure out a good time to all of us get together. But the church is growing by leaps and bounds, especially after certain situations changed around the structure of the church as the Lord would have it change in regards to people that shouldn't be here, like Achan. You all know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to mention any names. There's no need. When you're obedient, the Lord will bless. But I got this letter the other day, an email the other day, I think it was this week. There is a group of churches in a specific country, English speaking, that's about as far as I'll go. And they have a bunch of small home churches all over the place. They left the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1993 and have been more or less doing their own little conference thing for decades, obviously. Well, not decades. Well, yeah, a little over a decade. 2 decades, actually. And they got, like I said, they got their own little conference, and they keep in touch and all this other stuff, but they want to be Seventh-day Remnant now. They found a church that is doing exactly what they have been doing. And, you know, with the work and everything, and, you know. But there's 38 of them. 38 of these small churches are going to be part of our number soon. And so I wanted to praise the Lord for that. I mean, because that's more workers, you know. Okay, the numbers for the people coming into the chat, okay, you know, or on the radio, that's one thing, but what I'm all about is the workers. Get the workers out there, you know, because now we're, I don't know how many are involved in each one of these little churches, but I'm sure we're going to be over 1,000 actual people on the street, whatever country they're in. We're at 750-something now, and so I'm sure we're going to go over 1,000 soon. But my other thing is my guillotine page on the web, and this is, I was trying to contemplate how did the Lord bless us with almost doubling the hits to the ministry site last month, from averaging 3.5 to 4 million to almost 6 million. And I say almost double because I was at mostly averaging three million or 3.5. And it turns out somebody has been, or somebody took some of my work, well, specifically my guillotine page, and posted it on a blog. And one of the brothers here sent me an email letting me know that somebody posted my guillotine page. Well, then I linked through to figure out where they originated the post, because they weren't mentioning my name or nothing, although they did leave the links that I have inside my guillotine page about other pages on my site. They left all the links hot, and that's why my hits went way up. But it wasn't them. It was where they got it from. They didn't get it from me. They got it from Before It's News. And that's a mainstream, it's not like ABC, NBC, or those other, you know, manufactured or scripted news sources. No, this is a legit, and so I wanted to praise the Lord for that, because, you know, everybody knows we're censored. Google and AOL and everybody likes to censor remnantofgod.org because they don't much care for the message. But the Lord has gotten around that, and so we're out there, and we're out there in a big way, and we're still flying under the radar. Praise His name. And the last thing that I want to share, but then I'm going to let, because we've got a big line of people wanting to get on this mic now, and so I didn't realize it was going to be that big, because what is it going to be, 10, 11? 11 people waiting to talk. The last thing is, as you all know, a couple, 3 weeks ago, a brother in the faith heard me say something on the internet about the Orion Nebula and how a cloud is coming closer to the planet and all this other stuff, and how I wanted to zoom in using a telescope that I don't have yet. Well, lo and behold, there was a telescope in my P.O. box. Well, not in it. It wouldn't fit. There was a little card saying, you got to pick this massive box up. And so I did, and I brought it home. Well, the night before last, me and Fran looked through the telescope, and we saw Jupiter with the stripes. I've never seen it with the naked eye before, and I couldn't believe it. And it's kind of hard to keep track of because it keeps moving across the lens. You got to keep moving the telescope. And so I wanted to, that to me just floored me when I saw that. I could actually see the stripes on Jupiter and all the moons around it. And the thing I liked about the moons is there were little sparks of light. They were little tiny little dinky little stars compared to the planet itself, because you know Jupiter is a big planet. But you get these little tiny stars. I mean, and then you take your eye out of the eyepiece and you look up at the heavens and you see Jupiter looks like a star. You can't see those little moons or those little stars around it at all. But when you look in the lens, you see a bunch of these little stars all around it. And I thought, wow. So I wanted to praise the Lord for that, because I am definitely going to be zooming in on the Orion Nebula. So anyway, Brother Craig is the next to share.
Okay, hello everybody. I'm sure that you can hear me correct. You never know with this laptop sometimes. Perfect timing. I was going to share a lot of praises that have been going on out in the Philippines, but I just received Brother June's sermon the other day in which, you know, Sister Addie's interpreting, and he's doing a mission report on it, so I'm going to leave that with him. When he gets to share his sermon. But for me, I want to praise the Lord that He has taken me out of the filth of the world, you know, from the deep alcoholism that I was involved with, and the partying and the worldly stuff and all the girls and the nightclubs and, you know, all my friends that, you know, I cry out for in hopes that they'll receive the truth. And well, they have received the truth already, but that they would, repent, you know, because I miss them for, you know, the most part and stuff. But, you know, we serve a God of, you know, righteousness, and, you know, I'm not going to go back there. But I want to praise Him that He pulled me out of all this garbage. Over 6 years ago, now that it has been, that I haven't even once thought of it to go back and stuff like that. But of course, you know, the enemy will put things in your head or in your dreams or something like that, where you're doing bad things and you wake up feeling guilty and stuff like that. There's just no way. And the closer you draw to Christ, you know and understand just how beautiful of a creator that He is, and you don't want to go off and do these things and such like this. So I just want to praise him for taking me out of there, bringing me here to this church, and changing my life and being able to have a chance to glorify him and to talk to you guys and to share my testimony in this. And I just also hope and pray that a lot of you here that maybe is, you know, a little bit scared of the mic, that, you know, you would step forward and share your testimony so you can glorify God and maybe help others who are struggling in certain things in their life. So I will go ahead and turn this over to you guys now. I love you all, and I praise God for you all as a family and for the family that I now have too. And thank you. And God bless each and every one of you. Amen.
Hi, my name is Isaiah. I'm Brother Dan's son. And I wanted to praise God that we have this food drive, and it's been helping the poor a lot with all their needs. And I want to... And...
It's like love.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? My name is Isaiah, and I'm Brother Dan's son, and I wanted to thank you for the food drive. Thank God for the food drive that we have put up in public, and we've gotten a lot of donations so far for the poor, and we've already delivered them to the poor so far, and to the homeless shelter, and we, as you can see, the picture on the room, and and I pray for that the poor people will be fed and needed. And that's all I want to say in right now. Right.
Amen. Praise God. This is Sister Nine. So as Isaiah said, we had a food drive for the homeless here at the South Florida Church. And what we did is we prepared a box, as you can see in the room. And we actually went over to Publix, and they were able to allow us to put the box up. At first we got denied because they had other things going on, but they told us to call back about 2 or 3 weeks later, and when we called, they said it was okay, so we put the box up at Publix. We also handed out the flyers at our job, and I even went out one day and stood in front of Publix and let people know what was going on and with the food drive inside of the store. And as you can see in the picture, these are the things we collected. So praise God, because we're a small group, but we were able to come through and collect a lot of the donations, and not mainly out of our own pocket, but people actually coming to us constantly with boxes and bags of stuff that they wanted to donate. So praise the Lord for that.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. I just want to praise the Lord for, my sister came in a couple weeks ago, and she spent a week with me, you know, her and her son. And I'm just thanking God he gave me this chance to be able to share with her the health message, you know, basically everything I learned, you know, with the herbs and how to eat right and how to switch the bad, you know, your bad diet to a healthy one. And she was just, you know, I just basically showed her to change her diet, you know, to do a healthy one. She was so excited about this, you know, this new way of life, you know, this new healthy way to eat and, you know, how to treat your diseases and everything. She was so interested, and she was so very excited to do it. And I just was praising God that, you know, she really got into it, and she took it home with her too. All the information she took home with her, and she even had hands-on training how to, you know, I taught her how to do, you know, decoctions and, you know, with different herbs and what they do. And she just took all the information home with her, and she's practicing it with her and her family. Her family's, like, really annoyed with her, but that's okay. they'll get used to it. And I also want to praise God for my new grandson coming soon, and for God's travel mercies for us. I just thank Him for that, keeping us all safe while we're, you know, on the road or plane or train or wherever we go. And I want to praise Him for our church family and our church family members doing their services to God, you know, whatever it may be. And most of all, I praise Him for my salvation through Jesus Christ. I'm just so happy for that. And I'm really happy for that first time I found out, you know, I was so excited. I'm still the same excited about my salvation as I was the first day I learned of it. I just praise God for that. So, amen.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. And God bless all of you. It's so wonderful. That's my first praise, actually. Thanking God that I have such a wonderful church family. As Brother Craig said, I love you all. And I want to thank the Lord that He has been giving me opportunities to witness to people and also show me that I need to be in the Bible more, because I'll be like, what is that verse? What is that verse? So praise the Lord that He's showing me that many, many lessons that I can learn. And also I wanted to thank Him for giving me the opportunity to witness to my brother. And he, and I told all my family this, I'm not going to mention it anymore, but if you open the door, you're going to get the floodgates. So I want to praise the Lord that He opened the floodgates. I also wanted to praise the Lord that, He does little things that don't mean a lot to anybody else, but they mean a lot to you. So I had forgot to plant these little tomatoes, and I had gotten some dirt because one of my dogs or something knocked down some branches of my tomatoes. So I thought, well, I'll try and root them. I'll try and make them grow, because those were neat, really neat tomatoes. Anyway, so I put them in a container, and those two branches died. But it was about two Sabbaths ago. He gave me like 30 Rutgers tomatoes, one of the only varieties that didn't grow. And that's the one I was going, oh, I should have planted some Rutgers. But anyway, I just wanted to praise the Lord because it meant a lot to me. And it just made me really smile big on Sabbath morning. So praise God. Praise Him for all of you. And God bless you all.
Yes, amen, sister. And happy Sabbath, everyone. I pray that we're having a wonderful Sabbath. And I know we all look forward to this special praise and testimony Sabbath. And it's truly, as Brother Craig was saying, it's truly a blessing to everyone, you know. And I think it's also our duty to share to others as we can be a witness for God working in our life. So, you know, if the Spirit moves you to do so, please, you know, I know there's bubbles up, but it'll be wonderful to see many other bubbles up too, okay? I want to start off with, there's one from Matthew G. Let me read it. Okay, this is a praise from Matthew G. Now let me find it. All right, so he says, this is my testimony, that when the enemy took my daughter the second time, I prayed immediately as I did the first time, and she was released. Though Alexis was hurt worse the first time, I praise God for answering my prayer quickly. And he says, amen. So praise the Lord, and this is his testimony, and he's just showing that through prayer and through his faith, you know, he knows the Lord will deliver his children. So that I know through the Bible, when we read, we see how even Job did as well. He would pray on behalf of his children, you know, and we can pray on behalf of our children as well, know the Lord will deliver them. So we thank you, Matthew G., for sharing that with us. And the Lord knows what it's all about, you know, and we just keep our faith. And as we read this this praise that you share with us, we know the Lord is continuing to deliver his people and the little ones as well. So praise God. Oh, I want to lift up one here for my wife and behalf of my wife, Leslie. And we want to share this. This is something she told me that took place, and it was kind of a traumatic experience, but she wants to praise God for it. Some months ago, she was at the grocery store with all the children. And unfortunately, you know how little ones can be. As they were walking out the store, my son Christian decided to bolt off, though she was holding his hand, and he ran out in the middle of the parking lot, and a car happened to be speeding by, you know, a little bit more than in the speed limits that should be taking place in the parking lot, and right in front of him, you know, as he ran across, and apparently the woman slammed her brakes. And, you know, as they all said, that, you know, it stopped within an inch from running him over. And, you know, as you would think, you know, my daughters and my wife, they all kind of freaked out, and my wife grabbed them. And, you know, they got to the car. My wife said she started crying because it was so traumatic to see, you know, an inch separating your son being run over. And, you know, he's only 4 years old. But, you know, she got in the car, and after the crying, you know, she wanted to praise God, and she thanked God because she knew the angels, you know, the angel is protecting our family. And, you know, for this woman just to be driving, speeding in a parking lot, and, you know, you see, sometimes you say to yourself, it's a game of inches, you know, and you hear that cliche saying, and you don't realize that the Lord has the power, you know, and the might to do his will among his people. So, you know, she wants to thank God for delivering our son, making sure that he's protected. And she continues to pray, and we all continue to pray for our children each and every day. So, yeah, amen, Sister Sister Fran. You know, angels all around, you know, the Christian people, and my son Christian as well. So praise God for that. And my quick little praise, I promise I won't be too long. I want to thank God for increasing my faith. You know, as the years go on, And though we study the Word of God and we try our best to be Bereans, the one thing that has to continue to be molded is our character. And one part of our character is to have an increased faith. You know, and people need to see that. And that's for everything in my life, every single thing. Day by day, you know, my faith seems to increase. And I know it needs to increase more and more, especially when these trials come. But, you know, as some of you know, Leslie's dad has not been well. And what was it? I don't know. Maybe it was about 5 weeks ago now. They said he had anywhere between 3 weeks to 6 weeks. You know, and that's about as long as they would give him. And I really praise God for his faith, you know, Leslie's father. His name is Bill. And, you know, Leslie told me a few nights ago, and while we were talking about a few things, and she said how her dad called her up and said that, you know, he knows he's going to stick around to at least the end of the year, you know, for his birthday. You know, he'll be around at the end of the year, and regardless of what these doctors say, you know, he has a certain type of faith that has allowed him to be hanging on here, and that's he's having faith in the Lord. And I tell you, because I know last year we were told the same thing, that, you know, we maybe only have 6 months or so, and that was last year, and now maybe 5 weeks ago we're told he only has 3 to 6 weeks, and when you have faith in God, and you believe in God, and you believe that the Lord has something better for you to do and finish, and maybe there's some things that needs to be finished in his life, and witnessing to others just by his life experience, it's leaning on faith, you know. And I thank God for his faith, because I think as you get that phone call, and as your wife shares to you how other people live their life, how they have faith and trust in God, it increases your faith. It really does. It increases your faith, and you thank God for the strength of others. So, brothers and sisters, please take the time today as you share your testimonies. And brothers and sisters, that for those of you that are listening, take time to listen to how people are trusting in the Lord and how the Lord is really working in your brothers and sisters' lives. We are one in Christ. Remember that we are one in Christ. We're not single, but we are part of His body. A reminder to brothers and sisters, if any of you have any praises that you want to share or testimonies, PM Brother Craig, me, or Brother Nick, and just send it to them. If it's just a couple, you know, four or five little sentences, please do that, okay? And someone will share it for you, okay? God bless, and enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
Yeah, I'm not here. I guess you can. And this goes to my son. He stroked out at 13 years old. And they called us in. He had two major strokes. One, he was paralyzed for about a week. They sent him home. 5 days later, he stroked again. He was down for 17 days before they even got him to move. Totally paralyzed on the right side. Now, they could have done a little room. And they done all the tests that they knew to do. CAT scans, everything. They literally had to cut this kid's brain open and pinch his brain and send it off for biopsy to find out that it was golden, that, you know, there was no hope for him, none whatsoever. The disease he had is called primary angiotensin central nervous system, and 600 people back in 2004 in the world had this disease. Most of them were 40 to 60-year-old men. The majority of them. When you stand in front of a room with nine specialists, from rheumatology, neuropathologist, which is a coroner, his brain is totally dead. I sent some pictures of it to Nick. Hopefully he'll put them online. I sent him the article that our local paper wrote. We own the copyrights to this article. It's been a long fight. The only thing he had, he won two cancer medicines, oral chemo, Imron, and Cytoxin. They damaged him every time they damaged him. They hurt him, trying to lower his meds. I want him off them strong meds so bad. That medical protocol was 18 months before they even start tapering. So, pediatric research and development, he's an oncologist, special infectious disease doctor. He was Mike's head doctor. And he admits in the article, at 7 months, he was in remission. All I did, you know, I never knew anything about this health stuff. But I did what the doctors did. They pulled a blood panel. And everything that came up on the blood panel that was out of line, I just put a slash and put natural remedy. And where they were shutting his immune system down, I was boosting it. And I literally went in there and pinned this doctor. He's about 6'4". I pinned him up against the wall, and I told him, listen, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. By His stripes we're healed. And I'll tell you what, he also had a disciple, and he was a doctor. You guys do what you got to do, and I'm going to do what I got to do. And you know what? You don't know how long I've waited for a sight like this to just get this message out. And all it took was standing on the word. I've always believed that's Christ in print. I don't mark my Bible up. Why would I want to deface Christ? I read it and let the word work like it's supposed to work. I get very emotional about him. They said he'd never go to school again. He went to school. He stroked out April 28th. And he went back to school in June. And the article's one, he was in a wheelchair, and he got up the first time and used his quad cane when he went to second class and walked in and participated in class. I'll tell you what, there ain't no greater God than the God we serve. I don't care what anybody says, and just the things he does. He went through rehab. They couldn't straighten his hand out. I had to go to a copper shop and have a glove designed. The hospital where he went was Children's Hospital. Now it's called a vascular center. He was the first patient to be in this rehab center. I took him 8 hours a day for over 3.5 months. They could not do nothing with this boy's hand. That glove is designed by God. I'm telling you guys, it was not my thought. God gave me the design. I made the glove, and all it was the old screen door. Slam the old screen door shut when I was a kid. Sewed down on the back of the glove, and straight out that clawed hand right now. Right now, straighten that hand out. 20 days to him putting that glove on. To put it on, it took me and my wife an hour and a half to put it on the first time. From there on out, he can lay his hand as flat as anybody. There's no residue. You have to really look close to see that he's got residue effects from them two major strokes. He's off of all their meds. All he takes is his vitamins, his supplements, and that's all he takes. And they said he'd never come off of meds. He'd never graduate. Not only did he graduate, he went through BVR, that's Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation, and he worked for Altman Hospital here in town. But his medical hospital is Mercy, their competitor. Now, if that ain't a God, who can it be? Who's going to hire a kid from that gets serviced at his hospital, which he really don't? I take care of him. I got a durable power attorney for health care on him. Because of the things I did, they could have took my child if I never came in with the law of the land. And I had to get this durable power attorney on him. But I just want to give praise for what God's done for my son. Y'all know him just a couple days ago on Tuesday. My hand has caught a cute wrist drop. Your wrist, go your hand out, your wrist just drops straight down. There's no control of it. 48 hours, y'all pray. I pray. My hand is back to normal. It's a tad weak, but it'll be just as strong as it has been. And I just want to let the world know that there is a God, and he's living, and he's caring, and he cared for each and every one of us. I send it back to y'all. Thanks. I don't know how to get out of here. I'm going to try. Give me a hint there, guys, how to drop out.
Praise the Lord, Brother Kenneth. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm new at this as well. Yes, okay, good. Bear with me. It's my first time ever doing anything like this, and I'm so nervous my eyes are cross-eyed. So I'm going to stand here and give it a go. And I'd love to sit here and praise the Lord, but if I start doing that, I'll end up probably getting too emotional. My name is Lenore. I'm 52, and I'm currently employed as a San Francisco firefighter, and soon to retire at 52 in June. I've recently renewed my relationship with the Lord. Back in November, I was struggling with, take a deep breath, thank you, I just looked over, yes, many. I was struggling with alcohol, though at the time I really didn't know that I was. I was functioning, I guess you would say, alcoholic, but it was about brunches and partying and hanging out with a friend, so I never really thought it was a problem. Though a couple of weeks, I have the luxury of this wonderful schedule here with the fire department, and a couple of weeks into some time I had off, a little, you know, preemie vacation, I was working around the house doing my usual, and I noticed I was looking more forward to the happy hour earlier and earlier as the days went by. Eventually, one martini turned into two to three, and in a matter of days, it actually happened pretty quick. I noticed I was taking a little more risks than I never do while drinking. I, for one, started drinking a little too much, so then the hangover hit, and then I would drive to the store at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, like I said, this progressed probably in a matter of 2 weeks, and driving while intoxicated, I never would even think about doing that. I mean, I could lose my job. So with that in mind, I mean, those little things started adding up, the little risks, and then, again, getting up early in the morning and drinking, and then, you know, you can only imagine what the rest of the day looked like. So, and then just one evening, after about 2-3 weeks into this, I sat down, again, started with a martini, but I was sitting there, kind of in a relaxed mode, and enjoying the company of my two knuckleheads, Brody and Nala, my two little shih tzus, and sitting there and, you know, thinking, probably getting a little more depressed, you know, as the time went on. After about the third martini, I was in a state, and I can't even remember, it was a pretty bad state of emotional being. And never really got absolutely wasted or drunk, but it just, the emotions were just bombarding me. And I believe now that the Lord was definitely coming in and out of my awareness, I guess, or consciousness. And I just got to a point where I fell to my knees and I looked at the martini and I said, Lord, is this all there is? You know, is this all there is to life? And do I want to spend the next 20, 30, 40 years in this state? You know, being older and more mature and, you know, see things a little differently, the blessings that I've had in my life. And I said, is this all there is? And after, you know, a good hour or two of asking God, it, in my understanding, didn't know, higher power, we all call it higher power, to intervene, he pressed upon me to call a cousin that, basically I asked the Lord, help me, because only you can take this away from me, because obviously it's becoming a problem. Help me. You said, they say you can, you do it. I cannot anymore. Like I said, it wasn't so bad. I wasn't falling down drunk. I just knew I just didn't want to live dependent on this drug. And, of course, with that, I was taking Ambien and some other mood stabilizers, I guess you would say. So it was kind of a wreck in my own way. But nobody really at work knew anything of this. So I called a cousin that has been in recovery for about 13 years from heroin. And his situation alone, to me, is a miracle. But then again, not really having that connection, because I kind of have my own lifestyle that I was knee-deep in. So I called him, he says, sister, and in our Latin, he says, prima, that's, you know, cousin, sister. He says, as soon as you, your next day off, go to a meeting and do 90 meetings for 90 days. And I'm going to try to keep this short, I'm going to try, so bear with me, brothers and sisters. There's so much to praise the Lord about. Anyway, so I did, and every day off I went to a meeting, and almost fearfully, I thought, what do I have in common with these people now that I'm sober? What, you know, all of these thoughts, you know, I really don't have a problem, do I have a problem? Back and forth. I mean, I sat in the car for a good hour, one, or even not really wanting to go into those doors, but I did. Sorry, my dogs are starting to wake up. Anyway, so 2 months later, probably, I realized that what I had to do was surrender. And that's when I realized that the Lord was active in many, many people's lives. I'm so sorry, my dogs. And I saw in those rooms how, in their understanding, they allowed God to change their lives. And these people, again, were heroin addicts, full-blown alcoholics. I mean, their lives were... But then again, he changed their lives. And I said, okay, who is this God? He's obviously changed mine. I want to know more about this God, this higher power. So I started by reading. Actually, I have a Kindle, so I downloaded an e-book, Great Controversy, because that was one of my favorite books. So backtrack, I was raised Catholic, and then at the age of 30, joined an SDA church. Because, again, I was convicted. I think I knew somebody that knew somebody. I don't know. So I was practicing about a year, probably. So I had a lot of understanding, I thought, even back then. You know, so I remembered Ellen White, and just her books were just amazing to me. But even back in those days, I really didn't read Scripture the way I probably should have. So reason being is why I backslid. Anyway, so, and again, it just reminded me of what was there in Jesus, the love of Christ, and all the wonderful works that he can do in anyone's life. So I said, okay, now that I'm getting back to understanding again the Sabbath, so I said, oh, Sabbath, another thing. Okay, how do I do this? And then at the same time, all these things are actually happening. I have to find my Bible because I know I have it somewhere. I've seen it in the recent move. I recently moved about a year ago. And... I'm sorry, take a deep breath. And so I was reading her books, and then I'm not really computer savvy, but I, with this old laptop that I have, I got online, and I said, okay, what's going on these days? What are people talking about as far as Sunday versus Sabbath? Did I miss anything? Was I misled? One of the reasons I left the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because I saw a lot of hypocrisy there. And then being raised Catholic, oh, there was hypocrisy everywhere there. So I definitely am not one to be a part of hypocrisy, lies. You know, if I'm going to do something, it's going to be the truth. I've always been that type of child. Ask questions. I want to know the truth. If, you know, it doesn't make sense to me, something's wrong here. So I was online and still reading as much as I could, and not still every Sabbath I'd go to work. You know, I definitely would think about, well, it's a Sabbath today. So then I got online and I started coming across several. People that were preaching the Sabbath, and there was one in particular, I don't think I was on this website yet, but one in particular that I joined the, you know, I asked for the newsletter, I was getting stuff in the mail, and some of their stuff made sense about the Sabbath and other things, but then, a good three weeks into it, they said something that they started talking about keeping the feast days. I said, whoa, what did I miss? The feast days? I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, but Jesus died on the cross and all of the sanctuary. I did understand pretty good of, you know, what happens to the sanctuary and what had happened and, yeah, you see how many Jews could have been. Anyway, I said, well, this doesn't seem right again. So I continued to search, and then I came across this website, and the videos were awesome, you know, and the new technology and what, you know, the Seventh-day Remnant Church is offering, technology and the videos and all. I said, wow, this is pretty neat. This is what's out there. So, but I, again, got on the website and I started reading, you know, the Antichrist and all of these things that are on the website. And then I read the Statement of Faith. And at this, like I said, again, at the same time, I'm alone and I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of lonely. Of course, I had the Lord with me every single day, every moment. But I knew eventually I'd want to find a church because there's nothing like, you know, fellowshipping. I do remember that. I enjoy that every Sabbath. And it's why I got online to see if I could. I was looking for a church. Anyway, I'm going to try to keep it short, so I better get to that before my knuckleheads start acting up. So I read the Remnants of God Statement of Faith. Hold on, people. Knuckleheads are acting up. I'm going to have to probably move this computer. So I started reading the Statement of Faith, and I said, wow, this is pretty powerful stuff. So then I realized, are we still here? Then I realized, oh, I'm still here. Are we still here, brothers and sisters? I'm so sorry. I knew I should have locked him up in the other room. Are we here? Good. And then I realized that this is something definitely an organization I'm really interested in being a part of. So as the time goes on, you know, I'm going through these trials of faith and even as far as understanding how to pray. I mean, I probably in the last couple of months just really started to pray, getting on my knees and praying, all of those little things. And then I found my Bible after looking for it for a good 3 weeks and thinking, wow, maybe it's lost. And I opened a closet door, and there it was in a plastic bin. Praise the Lord for that. He knew. He knew when it was my time, he was ready. Anyway, so I started reading the Bible and reading Great Controversy, just going back and forth every chance I had, every waking moment, not busy, I would, you know, read Scripture. And the things that Ellen White, from what I remember, she talked about it. It's an awesome book. But then also at the same time, I'm thinking, okay, and this is another thing in my life that I thought I should start dealing with. Well, I really didn't know that I needed to, but I thought, okay, well, maybe better give this a whirl. If it's a problem with the Lord, oh, and in saying that, I was in the mode where, Lord, I owe you. You saved my life. I mean, you saved my life, so I owe you. What is it that I can do for you? Whatever it is you need me to do, and again, on my knees daily, and I repeated that almost every day. Whatever it is I need to do, you just tell me. I'll do it. Anything. I'll do it. Not really understanding what I was asking him. Oh, he showed me all right. Not New King James, no. More Bible for your money. King James, absolutely. It was the King James. Praise God. It was the King James. So I said, okay, Lord, now let's deal with this issue. And hold on to your hats, folks. But I've been a lesbian for many years. We came out 19 years old. I'm 52, like I said. And I was one of those that believed that you were born with it, which, again, is another story in itself. And I understand, though now, what all of that means. And I started reading, you know, scripture about it. The only two that I knew was in Romans, I believe, in Leviticus, that all the Sunday-keeping Christians threw, you know, at your face. And I thought, okay, well, it does say that, but, and even back when I was in SDA, I was more interested in living in the flesh or being in the flesh. And not understanding spiritual, flesh, carnal, you know, that's what I understood back then. But now I understood. I mean, I felt the power of spiritual versus carnal. And God, the Lord helped me with that only because I've been single for quite some time, a couple of years probably. And I praise God that I'm not in a committed relationship and have to deal with that. I praise God. And obviously He has a different path for me to take, and I'm seeing that every day. And I absolutely will share, and I don't mean to ramble. I know there's a line I see. So where was I? Hold on, give me a moment. Lost my train of thought. Oh, so then I read, and I thought, okay, Lord, if this is a problem, you know, you take it away. And then I realized, well, I need to be out of the flesh, and because it's my walk with Him is spiritual. And then reading Romans, of course, and other verses in the Bible about that, I said, so this is who I am. I'm a spiritual being. And the gay issue wasn't an issue because it's not important. You know, lust is lust in the flesh, regardless of whether you're straight, gay, whatever, you know, adultery, deceit, covetousness, and all of that. It's all sin. And so that is that. It's not something I'm dealing with because I am now a spiritual-minded Christian, and I praise the Lord that he only gave me, I guess, what He knew I could handle. And maybe if I were in a relationship, I wouldn't obviously be sitting here probably talking with you and being in this wonderful church, brothers and sisters. I'm so blessed to be here. So now back to the retirement. I know there's so much more to say about that. Oh, just touching on one thing, or even go back and talk about Christianity, Sunday keepers, and the gay people have, I don't think I know, they have a very special place in my heart because there are a lot of people that are deceived, even those that go to churches, and they're very not exposed to anything Christ-oriented in the least. You've seen it. You've seen it on television, and the lifestyle is pretty accurate. And it breaks my heart that there really isn't anyone out there that can tell them that they can be spiritually minded, and you know, the Lord will take all of that away as long as you want to, as long as you're willing, and if you're willing to be obedient, and if you're willing to give up all for the Lord, since He's given it all up for us. And that's big for a lot of people. Yes, absolutely pray. I do daily. And one thing which is sad is, you know, those Sunday keepers are the folks that can call themselves Christians, would walk up and at every parade, at every function, God hates fags. And that's definitely one thing that just, you know, cuts me to the core. Even then I knew God doesn't hate fags. That isn't, God is loving, merciful, graceful. And how do these, anyway, you know the message. You know what they do and what they say. Not loving whatsoever. So with that said, back to retirement. And my life since then, it's, you know, I've joined the church. You know, I couldn't wait. I would listen to Pastor Nick. That's funny. I would listen to Pastor Nick and I'd say, Nicholas, and I'd say, wow, he's got a great message. And, you know, and so I listened more and I read more and finally asked to join, you know, get a password and a username so that I can participate. But back to retirement, I was not going to retire until 2020. So give me 20 years with the department and a pretty good pension. But then daily the Lord moved me to to take up my cross. I would, you know, come across the scripture. Take up, you know, what can I do? I've done all these things as well. Take up your cross. Walk with, you know, what does he say? Walk with me. I'm still learning. And sell all that you have and follow me. And I said, well, that's what you want. That's what you've got. And I had many material things, nice cars, nice lots of things. And though it's just something he just impressed upon me, it's time to let all of that go and move and go and do the work. And the more I was on this, you know, with this church, I realized this is what I need to do. That's what I need to do. And I bought myself a little 14-foot travel trailer. And it wasn't for this reason. Actually, it was just to travel and visit family members. Now that I was sober, I was going to, you know, pay more attention to my family and friends and, you know, live that life. It was just to visit and to have a more comfortable place to live while I, you know, visit. And then it turned into this. It turned into I'm packing everything up. I have the trailer, getting everything situated. So when June 21st comes, I'm ready to go and see where the Lord sends me. And I praise the Lord that I finally got to talk to Pastor Nick, and then he put me in touch with Brother Craig, and I'm starting there. I have a little idea of what I'm to do and how. So again, thank you for your ears, and thank you for your prayers, and I hope that you continue. And not like Brother Craig says, I'm on the front lines now, and watch what you ask for, because I did ask. Whatever you need me to do, I will do. Whatever it takes, I'm ready. So, with that said, praise God and His mercy and His love, and I'm so grateful that He's given me a chance again to be a part of His new kingdom someday, and I just cannot wait to see our Heavenly Father, our beautiful Jesus. And I'm going to try to get out of this mode. Bear with me. But thank you again, brothers and sisters, for listening. Thank you. God bless.
Amen, sister. You know. Amen. Sister Lenore, praise the Lord. That was a very powerful testimony, and I know it blesses everyone and inspires everyone. Okay. What about this? Is it better? Okay. Okay, wonderful testimony from Sister Yunor, and I know it blesses everyone and inspires everyone, especially those who are contemplating to join the work, with the work full time. And we have a couple of praises here. First is, I want to praise the Lord for the truthfulness of His word. He said in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The word of God is very truthful, and when He says something, if we follow it, you will see that the fruits of it. He said in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And being first-time parents, you know, we need to follow it, and you don't know what happens because your kids, and I mean, just like Hannah, she's almost 2 years old, and there is a burden for us to take care of them and train them up in the way he should go, and that we have to make sure that it's in the way of the Lord. And we see the fulfillment of God's word firsthand right before our eyes. And the first thing that we teach her is the reverence to God. So as early as like she was like 6 to 7 months when she was starting to crawl, we teach her, and also Levi, but he's starting to crawl now too. When it's time to pray, especially our family worship in the morning and evening, we put them in their stomach when we pray, so they have an understanding that, oh, okay, it's time to pray. And then they would say, she would say amen. And then we also, part of teaching about Sabbath is we hide her toys. Like sometimes she would say like the bike or something like that and say, no, it's Sabbath. No playing on Sabbath. So we just keep her busy with books about nature, or let her watch like animals and music too. And then we teach her Bible verses, and her first Bible verse is John 14:15, though she can't say perfectly, but you know, she's saying it to the best that she can. And then teach her the law too, like the Ten Commandments. And we also teach a book of nature and make them understand who created the trees, the flowers, the animals, and such like that. So, and then because of that, she can name animals, and you know, and it's these little things that make us realize how powerful the Word of God. When you teach it to these little ones, they would, you know, obey. And then by doing this too, they will become familiar with the God that we serve, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So to those parents with young ones, or to those who are about to become parents, like Brother Ben just got married. So let us always remember that we have work to do, not just on the street or out there somewhere else, but our first work starts in the family. We have to remember that, and not just to teach our kids ABC and 1, 2, 3, but most of all is the obedience to God, which is the most important thing that they need to learn while at this young age. Because Proverbs 22:6, that if we train them the way of the Lord, this way that they should go, they will not depart from it. And Isaiah, what's that verse? 55, the one I gave earlier. 55:10 or something, forgot. Sorry about that. It says that his word will not come back void, and we have to trust that he will make it happen if we are obedient to him. And Sister Novi will share a praise to Sabbath blessings, brethren. This is Sister Novi. My grandpa died, and he was a deep Catholic, but months before he died, he seemed to change his views regarding the past that his family is in. That side of the family who never believes in the keeping of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus do all they want to do. Well, his present true side of the family is so different from the other side of the family. So before he died, he personally admitted that they are not following the will of God. But years ago, he would insist that we are not the true church because we are so few, this and that. So we prayed that he would repent, and before he died, he seemed very different. And when we preach the truth to him, he won't fight about it. And I believe our prayers were answered. And also, I heard that Sister Fridolin, who is my aunt, whom Brother Craig baptized in the Philippines, I heard that her sisters are treating her nicely during the funeral, and they did not schedule the burial on Saturday. They didn't stop her from going to church on the Sabbath. They didn't give her problems with her food. And so they know that she doesn't eat meat, and they support her. But long ago, they would ridicule and even hurt her personally for her faith. So I really praise the Lord for the answered prayers. Amen. God bless us all.
Amen. That's me again. I got a few here that everybody has been PMing me or emailing me, and so I want to share them. First off, I want to share one I shared last night from Sister Taria, because it was it reminds me of a lot of you know, brothers and sisters that have gone through the same thing. And she says, "Hi, brother. I must give the praise for today. as I told the Lord I would tell of this right away to glorify him. This praise concerns my job. I flourish at work and have just thrived with my environment and usually speak of the Lord daily to someone or answer questions about him. Lately, this one woman has just treated me with contempt and is a favorite of the managers. When other coworkers notice this treatment, I would just tell them, we will just pray for this, as she may be having a bad day. Soon I began to dread working with her because of her horrible dictating attitude towards me. She says that, she got in parentheses, I am on the same level as her also. She says, yesterday morning I was doing my job and soon this woman began yelling at me and ordering me to do this and to do that, and I just meekly replied, these things will get done. Unbeknownst to both of us, the managers just happened to be there and heard everything and confronted her to stop behaving in this manner. She began to talk back to them, and they ordered her off the floor. I couldn't believe it. The managers exalted me on that day and apologized for her behavior and that it would not be tolerated, and for me to continue doing as I was and not to worry again about the mistreatment. For the rest of the day, I found favor with all my coworkers, my patients, and the managers, and was just exalted. I just didn't expect that, and I praised the Lord for it and told him I would let everyone know of his goodness to me. And it reminds me of, you know, the scripture, those who exalt themselves shall be humbled, and those who humble themselves shall be exalted. So it happened exactly like that. That woman was exalting herself above our sister, and our sister just humbled herself in her presence. And what happened was it turned around. The woman that was exalting herself was humbled, and the woman that was humbling herself was exalted. So it's just as it's always been in the Word. I mean, how many of us have seen that through our lives? So amen to that. And then Linda Patton June emailed me this earlier. They say, dear Pastor Nicholas, may the Lord bless you, your family, and all our brothers and sisters on this blessed Sabbath. We have good news. God is working in a mighty way. This past Tuesday, I went to the Alpine Clinic and received a wonderful report, about my collarbone that was operated on March 11th. And the doctor and the physician's assistant told me that my collarbone was healing very well. They contributed my good report to my diet and lifestyle as a vegan vegetarian. The doctor said that I was healing so quickly, too. Praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow. When I got out of the hospital, I sent the China study to two of my physicians, Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so. I'm not going to put their names. But I don't know what she's talking about, China study, but... You know, I know how my sister studies, so I'm pretty sure it was a good one. And or maybe I do know about it and forgot about it. I don't know. But anyway, she says, or they say, praise the Lord. Dr. So-and-so and his assistant are reading the China study, and I just never expected God to work in such a powerful way as he did on Tuesday with their excitement about this book. God is so good. God has been using Pat, June, and I to witness more effectively than ever before. And I would imagine too, with all those people seeing how they responded to treatment as with that accident, it's wow. They want to know what's going on. Anyway, they go on to say, he is opening so many doors for us to witness on the health message and the third angel's message. Thank you again for your prayers. What a wonderful God we serve. We would love to talk to you again soon. June is visiting her family and so and so, and we'll be back tomorrow afternoon. Please keep family and freedom. Okay. Also keep Pat's daughter Sharon in your prayers. And we love you and look forward to hearing all of the testimonies today. God bless you richly. Give our brothers and sisters our love. Just did it. So, amen. Sisters Linda Pattinger. And then Sister Mindy sent me something in email. She says, I have been praying for the Lord to reveal to me when it was the right time to share the truth with my coworkers and my boss. One of my coworkers, who was a devout Catholic, came across one of my postings on LinkedIn. It's a networking site. I get requests to join it just about every day. And she goes, and he shared my postings with my boss that referred to the Pope being the Antichrist. This opened the door for me to share more truth with my coworker and boss, including the truth about God's Sabbath. They received the light. Now I pray that the seeds were planted in their hearts that the Holy Spirit can water. You know, this reminds me, too, of what happened to me many years ago. Right before I went full-time in the ministry, I was working in this one company. And as I was doing some work in this one building for them, because they had me hopping all over the state, I was at this one building doing something, and one of the workers there, it was a young girl, and she heard I was a preacher, and she heard about the type of message that I had, and so she started asking questions and got really offended, but she didn't act like it. I guess she was asking questions, and I was answering her. She was asking for historic references, and I gave them, and I just left it at that, and I thought everything was great. The next day, I get this call from, you know, one of the bosses, the owner, actually, and was wondering what happened, because the girl was yelling and screaming and complaining about me, and then the other boss told, I told them what actually happened. She asked questions, and I answered them. I don't go around preaching on work. Well, if somebody asks me a question, I pull a little piece of paper out of my pocket. That's how I did this for years, and I would write the time I start talking, which means I'm off the clock now. I won't allow myself to be paid company money. And that's what I told them, all that stuff. They loved it, and it was, you know, they thought it was a great idea for me to do it. I was amazed at how that happened, because I thought they were going to get all up in my face about it, and they got in her face about it, actually. They yelled at her. And he says, look, you asked the question, you know, and so what are you going to do? So praise the Lord. And then Brother Goran, he has a testimony here in the praise. He says, a while ago I asked you all to pray for me in a job, and soon after I got accepted to an internship. For the next year or so, I am there. I am accepted. I also prayed for a job with Sabbath off, and I don't have to be there on the Sabbath. Amen. And he says, praise the Lord, working hours are great. They end in time on Friday, and Sabbath is off. I don't know what the future brings. This may or may not get extended after a year, but praise the Lord for what they have now. So amen, amen, amen. And okay, so Brother Kevin, we still got quite a few people that are standing in line, so amen. Praise the Lord for that. We're at an hour now, but that's fine. And so just, if you got something to share, please share.
Seth, blessings, everybody. Can you all hear me? Okay, good. It's just a testimony of where I came from, where Christ saved me from. A lot like you. I was an alcoholic, and I was drenched in drugs. And 3 years ago, I wouldn't even recognize the same person that I am now through Christ. Amen. You know, it wouldn't be anything for me to go to a liquor store after work and pick up a six-pack of beer, 16 ounces, and down all six beers in an hour. And then, deciding I'm not drunk enough, go back to the same store. So I'm amazed, and I praise the Lord that I wake up, that I woke up today, and I wake up every day. He's really saved me from a lot. And a lot of people, and I feel sorry for a lot of the alcoholics and people who are drenched in drugs, because when you're in alcoholism, you think that the only thing that can save you is a bottle or a drink, and you won't be happy without it. But when in reality, you're just miserable, and you're trying to fill a void. And what I was trying to fill the void with, my void was Christ, because Christ is nowhere in my life. So I tried to fill that void with alcohol and drugs and women and fornication and dirty jokes and cussing and blaspheming and all the like. When in reality, I just missed my first love, and that's Christ. And I just want to praise the Lord of what He saved me from. You know, it's a slow and steady process, and we're all striving to that perfection. But I praise God because His yoke is truly easy, and the grass is greener on the other side. And you don't think, like I was saying, you don't think that you can survive without the drugs and the alcohol, and how can you function and just all these things, but you're not happy and you're miserable at the same time. And so I just want to praise Christ for the happiness that He gives us all. And, you know, I'm frankly not deserved of it. You know, I'm a sinner like everybody else. And so I just want to praise Christ that He died for me and He died for all of us. And a quick prayer request. I wasn't in study last night, but keep this man Donald. His name is Donald in your prayers. He's a homeless man, and I shared truth with him last week. And so just pray for him and keep him in your prayers if you would. Thank you all, and God bless.
Can everybody hear me? Solid blessing. Yeah, I'm going to make my testimony a little bit short today. First, I want to thank the Lord Jesus for allowing me to be alive in a time like this, to see all His prophecy being fulfilled and His hand moving our lives every day. I've been working, installing kitchen cabinets for a young Indian guy I met. And first when I went into his house, he has all these statues and he's a Hindu. But he was telling me that he went to a Catholic school back home in India. So I on a day-to-day, I don't try to push it. I witness to him about Jesus Christ and everything. And he said he knew a little about Jesus, and he started asking me questions, and I explained what I knew about Jesus, and we became friends and talking. So I gave him the Antichrist track that I had in my truck, and he took it, and he folded it up, put it in his pocket, said he's going to read it on his way to work. And he did read it, and I saw him the next day, and he was explaining to me that it was all true, and he understood everything about it. And he was asking me a question again, and we talked, and all because he have all the idols and stuff in the house. At first I was uncomfortable with it, but then I know that the Lord sent, He put you places that He want you to be, all right? Because His message has to go out, you know, the work has to be done. So I was happy that I get to minister to him, and when I left him, the next track. The only other track I had was "It's Sunday the Sabbath," "It's Sunday the Christian Sabbath." So I left that with him. I wanted to give him the mark of the beast, but I'm gonna see him Monday, so I'm sure we'll bring him some more tracks and then keep in communication with him. And that's all I wanted to testify about and say. The Lord, He provided. I prayed and I asked to send people to me to minister, so I could talk to them about Christ. So. And He answered a prayer, so I'm happy, you know, that He's working our lives. And have a blessed Sabbath, my brothers and sisters. Okay.
Sabbath blessings, brother. Thank God. And I want to just praise God for all these testimonies. And I've been crying just, you know, every testimony brings a tear to my eye. It's just very powerful to hear a living testimony. And I would always love it that it be testimony Sabbath every Sabbath, because this is so such a blessing. But my testimony is more of something that was brought to me just last night, or in just very early morning. And I was actually having second thoughts about sharing this testimony, because I thought maybe, you know, it's not like really like a testimony, but more of a testimony of encouragement to our work. And then I asked God, you know, God, I'm not that smart, so please, if you want me to speak about this testimony, give me a sign that's very obvious. And Brother Nick said something about a picture speak 1,000 words, and that was the sign. And I said, God, that's pretty obvious to me. So I wanted to share that this statement by Ellen G. White to encourage us about our work right now and the work that is to come. And she says, there will be thousands converted to the truth in a day, who at the 11th hour see and acknowledge the truth in the movements of the Spirit of God. The time is coming when there will be as many converted in a day as there were on the day of Pentecost after the disciples had received the Holy Spirit. So praise God, brothers and sisters, because we have nothing to fear when we look at our future, because we know that what is prophesied will be fulfilled, that no matter how hard our work is at the moment, God will testify. Even if we stop testifying, He will testify on our behalf. Because in 1 John 5, verse 9, He said that if you've heard the witness of men, the testimony of God is even greater. And if He is the one that's going to be testifying for us, then by God, you know it's going to be amazing. And it will wake up a lot of people. And that will bring about the latter rain of falling abundantly. And I also wanted to give a message of preparation, because I thought this was would go hand in hand. Because when I was reading these verses last night, I don't know why I woke up in the middle of the night. It was 4 a.m. and then I remembered Brother Nick and the brothers and the brethren and the sisters was talking about 4 a.m. And then I was prompted to study, and then I was reading these verses, and I was urged to think about these verses, these posts by Ellen White, about how do we imagine ourselves at that time when the latter rain is falling so abundantly, where in a day we can convert thousands of people. And I thought we have to put ourselves in that position now to prepare ourselves on how we can go about that, you know, spreading that truth in a very, you know, I also thought that perhaps the internet will be shut down. Perhaps everything that we have today, our memes and cards and things that we pass out today might cease. And I thought, how are we going to be able to present the truth to our brothers and sisters, the lost wicked people of this earth, the truth in a very condensed way that will wake them up? And then God put into mind the sanctuary, and he told me, remember my methods, that my methods have been very simple, show and tell. And that's what Brother Goran said a while ago, and I said, yeah, show and tell. And I thought, if we can tell them the movie of the Bible, we can show them how the movie goes, then why don't we present it in a very visual way and present them and lead them into the sanctuary, so that it will lead and point back all the way to the law in the most holy place. And I thought, even without the internet and everything, we can draw this diagram in their heads, even on the sand. We can, if we are well versed in the sanctuary, we can present a very amazing show and tell to our brethren. And yeah, the CDs, yeah, and we can definitely maintain all the methods that we keep today. But I was just urged by the Holy Spirit to prepare ourselves for that time, because God is calling a people who will be ready and prepared to send that message at that time, and I know God will help us. So have faith, my brothers and sisters. And I would just like to add another thing, because Sister Ade wanted me to testify about how I used to work at the World Trade Center, and that, you know, on 9/11, God did not want me to go to work for some reason, and that's what saved me. And I wanted to testify that God's hand is upon so many things. I mean, it's just amazing that I was delayed to go to work. And I was one of those people that would go to work early, very early, and, you know, all of a sudden I was delayed. And then from then on, my life was shook, and forever I was searching for the truth. God gave me this thirst for the truth. He led me back to that thirst for the truth, and years gone by until I ended up in this church. But man, it was 9/11 that led me to awaken. So I wanted to testify to God's hand, to God's amazing grace. I mean, he's just amazing. And again, I just wanted to read what Sister White said about the sanctuary. She said, the sanctuary, the correct understanding of the ministration in the heavenly sanctuary, is the foundation of our faith. And I thought, if this is the foundation of our faith, then we must be able to present this foundation to others in the most concise, in the most succinct way. And perhaps this is just a suggestion, but I'm very sure God has so many plans. But I really feel that it is the foundation. So I thank you for your time, for listening to me. I'm not very good at, you know, speaking, but thank you very much, and God bless all of you. I love you, my beloved brethren in Christ. God bless you all.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. I'm going to keep this short and simple, but I wanted to praise God for he's done some amazing things in my life as far as you know, the way he's changed me, the way he's helped me throughout all my life, even when I was, you know, not paying attention to him. But I wanted to thank God for all the many blessings, and just without him, I would have nothing.
Yeah. Can you all hear me? Okay, first of all, Sabbath blessings to everyone. First of all, I want to praise the Lord for this amazing Sabbath. Amazing weather as always on the Sabbath. So I just want to praise the Lord for changing me from the way I was till I am now, because before I was so worldly. All I was thinking was about myself and myself and myself. So, and now when the grace of God, because of His mercy, I came to the present truth, and I praise His name and praise His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And to go on, I'm gonna make this short. And I went to Eastern Europe, not knowing the area and how I'm gonna end up there. And I have distributed some cards. I'm not sure that if they are gonna be understanding English or not. So I went to the mall. I distributed cards at the mall, and the mistake that I've done was I canceled the mini hotel that I was gonna go into. So I ended up walking in the middle of before midnight, walking in the middle of nowhere, and then there's no one there to help me out. But I praise the Lord that He also led me by His Holy Spirit to another hotel. So I thought I was really lost at night. So, and also for all this trip that I've been to, I met a Swedish guy, and at the airport. And I, this is a different country. I'm not gonna mention, as Pastor Nicholas said, don't mention anything. So, and one hour and a half, I was at the bus. I was sitting right next to this dear friend of mine, Evan. I told him about the present truth, and he watched the Mark of the Beast video at the bus while he is sitting with me. So he watched all the video, and he gave me his email, and he's so interested to receive more of the present truth videos. So it was a blessing on that day. And also, I have shared the present truth to different native speakers, German people, Greek, Russian, Latvian, Arabic guy from Serbia, and Swedish. Oh, and Chinese from Shanghai. So they all listen to the present truth, and I praise the Lord that they took time to look at the card and ask me some questions to it. So, and also every time I get lost in some place, the Holy Spirit always lead me in the right direction to find where I need to go. And always the Lord send the nice people to help me. And some of them, I give them cards. So it has been a blessing, and I truly praise the Lord for the protection. And a good news for the brethren, we have now five brand new translations: Mandarin, Arabic, Latvian, Swedish, and Russian Mark of the Beast cards that I have. And I just haven't sent it to Pastor Craig, but I will compile everything. Is we have less than 20 Mark of the Beast cards translated already. So praise the Lord for this awesome blessing, and we're all doing the work for His glory. And all we need to have is like one English card in your possession, and it can enlighten so many different tongues just by having one card in your wallet. So And of course, you don't have to give it away if you only have one. So, and I also have spent the Sabbath with our dear brethren, Brother Ben and Sister Modiara, who is now married. So congratulations to them. So it was a blessed marriage. So we should not be worried on our walk if we encounter some scoffers, because as the word of God says, Jude chapter 1 verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts, or something like that. Also, our own families, let us pray for our own families, especially if we all came from Catholic families, because as our Savior said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 36, and a man's foes shall be thy of his own household. And lastly, John chapter 14, verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And the other verse is John 16, verse 33, this things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So I just like to share those verses to you all. And God bless in each and every one of you, and have a blessed Sabbath. I love you all. Sorry. Can get out there.
Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Can you hear me? All right. So this one is going to be a little long, and my mother will also be testifying later. So just bear with me right here. For the past few testimony services, you, my brothers and sisters, have heard about all the goodness and all the blessings the Lord has given to me. And those blessings rely a lot and revolve around my schooling, because I'm still in school, and that's my life right now, and that's the way I can give glory to God. So you heard about how He gave me the chance to take the SAT on a Sunday, and when I was applying for college, how He gave me a calm spirit. However, this changed in March. For some of you who aren't familiar with the American school system, you apply for college, for university, in the fall. And around March, you hear on whether or not you got accepted from a college or not. And I applied to a total of 6 schools because I was confident that I was going to get in. And I applied to 5 UCs, which are University of California's, and 1 SCA school. When March did roll around, one by one, I got rejected from every single University of California school. Now, I want all of you to understand, I'm not trying to boast or anything, but I work very hard in high school. I am in the top percentage in my class, and that is all to the glory of God, because I really wouldn't be able to attain or have this thirst for knowledge if it wasn't for Him, and if it wasn't for Him letting me and being able to have the time and the knowledge to do this. So it's all due to God's grace, and I wouldn't have gotten anywhere without Him. But these rejections, my pride took a beating. I was really humbled. Everyone around me was getting accepted. Students who had lower GPAs, students who didn't do as many community service hours as me. And I didn't wish anything bad for them, but I was so confused. And I was asking the Lord, why are you doing this to me? I was losing hope. I was scared that I was not going to have a school to go to the next year. I was terrified. Not being sure of my future when I had spent 17 years of my life working up to this point. And to be honest, I was depressed for a while. And just recently, because I didn't know what to do. And my mother and I shared the pain. And then one day, I woke up. And I got an email from one of the SCA schools that I applied to. And I was accepted. At first, I wasn't so excited because it was an SCA school and I was hesitant about going somewhere where I knew it was a corrupted church already. But I decided to do some research. And it turns out that this school has a very good pre-med program, a vegan cafeteria, and shuts the entire school down and the surrounding stores for Sabbath. It's also near Ellen G. White's home here in the U.S., and she actually founded this school. And she had actually wished that the school be away from the city. And so I'm actually secluded. I'm actually secluded in nature, surrounded by God's glory and God's artwork. Oh, no, Brother Robert, neither. it's a little more up north. But I realized that while this wasn't the school I wanted, it was the school I needed. And my dreams of becoming a doctor like my mother blossomed again, and I had hoped that I could make a difference like her if that's God's will. And while it still hurts to know that I was rejected from schools I knew in my heart that I had deserved to go to, I realized that the Lord had shut every door, just I can go through only one. And it also makes me realize how much He loves me. By really shutting off and cutting off the temptation to go to a secular school where I would have been exposed to ungodly things, or I would have been tempted to drink, or I would have been tempted to party and not pay attention to my spiritual life. And now I'm going somewhere where, despite that it's SCA, at least I will be reminded why I'm here and that He had really put me there. And so I thank Him for His blessings and love. And may my story remind you that we are truly not in control and that we have to trust Him because He's the only one who knows what's best. So thank you all, my brothers and sisters. And here is my mother for her own testimony.
Amen. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Last April 12th, just a few weeks ago, I was invited by a patient in her home. She owned two dogs, one Bichon. This type of dog is used to hunt lions in Africa. The second one is the largest pit bull I have ever seen. His head almost as big as an adult human head and has a history of seriously hurting three dogs and has killed two. The Rhodesian dog came near me, and when he hissed, the pit bull broke loose from the owner's hold and lunged after my face. I turned back, and they still pushed me toward the fence, but stopped when they were hit by the owner with something while screaming at them. I heard that it can be fatal when a pit bull bites because their jaw can lock and not let go. I cannot stop thinking of how God protects His own. I praise and thank Him every time I remember the incident, as I still cannot believe with that attack that all I got is a fourth of a pea-sized sore spot in the mid-nose ridge with no open skin at all, and just two quarter-sized bruises on the back of my leg from their heavy paws. Indeed, angels can shut the lion's mouth and also the pit bulls. This is at Exodus 11:7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Amen. God bless you all. I am so blessed to be with you, and I love you.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Can you hear me? This will be quick. Recently, I've been going through this whole deal with the tithe, and Brother Nick knows this better than anybody. It's just one of those things I've had such a hard time with. And just recently, I've started giving my full tithe, and my wife, who's really not completely on board with this yet, doesn't really say much, but she just kind of watches and observes. And this more or less has to do with her because she's been needing this appliance to help her with her sleep apnea. And I started giving my full tithe about a month and a half, 2 months ago. And this appliance that she was going to need for her sleep apnea was about $2,500 to $3,000. Her parents sent us a check 3 weeks ago to cover the cost of that full appliance. I mentioned to my wife that this is indeed God's hand at work and gave all the praise and glory to Him. And I continue to give my tithe without question. And I realize how important that is, that I need to remain more spiritual and fearful of God than I do current temporal. So praise God and have a blessed Sabbath day. Amen.
Can everyone hear me? All right. Sabbath blessings, everyone. First, I'd like to just thank God for the breath of life for this Sabbath day, to be with brothers and sisters. You know, I always love this day because, especially with the praise and testimony, from the homosexuality to being paralyzed, to witnessing to unbelievers, you know, it's just an amazing day to hear these stories, you know, to hear what God has done for others and what He's done for us, and that, you know, He can do anything. You know, He can heal the spirit. He can, you know, heal the body. You know, He can create it anew. And He said that He would if we would just allow Him. So, you know, constantly we're bombarded in this world with, you know, people saying that you can't do this, you can't do that. But yet, you know, here we're able to see where it has been done. And we have the promises. And, you know, myself, on Easter Day, I was accused falsely of something. You know, and some of you guys know what that is. And hopefully Monday, you know, I have conclusion to this manner or to this matter. And, you know, God is merciful and we'll see what happens. But, you know, I just thank Him for that because it's helped quicken my feet to become full-time in the ministry. You know, Friday was my last day at my work. And, you know, I've been there 7 years and 10 months. And I work with my dad when he wants to show up. So, you know, it's a big thing, you know, to bear the cross and to sacrifice. But I really don't look at it as sacrificing because the greatest joy in this world is working for the Lord. So, you know, it's tough at first because you're so used to doing something every day. But, you know, there's no greater joy than to work for the Lord. So I don't really consider it a sacrifice because, to be quite honest, it's a pleasure. You know, it's honorable. So, you know, I thank Him for that and also for my wife as well and family. You know, I've learned many things through this. You know, He's trying me with, you know, this was self-inflicted in some ways, but, you know, other ways He's using it to teach me more patience, you know, faith, trust, love, mercy, because when you're falsely accused, you know, you're going to be tested. You're going to be upset with those people that have done that, or you're going to continue to show them love. So, you know, I'm at peace with it, and I'm very thankful for Him for, you know, correcting us, because He corrects those that He loves. You know, He doesn't let us just continue on our own destructive path. He tries to get our attention in many ways. And each person has the different ways that He tries to them. But all things are possible through Him. And I'm thankful my sisters, one of my sisters is sitting next to me listening to all this. So, you know, God is good. God is wonderful, and we have a work to do, and I want to praise Him as well for all the workers out there doing the work, you know, all over this world. So, you know, I'm able to hopefully here Tuesday be able to move and go down and work a field right now that hasn't been worked. So, and, you know, what I've learned in this life is to not say I'm going to do this or not do this, because every time I say I'm not going to do something, you know, I end up eating my own words and end up doing it. I've learned more, you know, I still fail mightily. I'm still very weak. I'm still very much a sinful person, but, you know, God has died for me. We all deserve death. Obviously, that's why Christ has died for us. But if we accept His death on our behalf, you know, we don't have to go through that. So, you know, nobody's perfect. We all deserve death. That's obvious what's happened at the cross. But, you know, I'm just thankful for each second, you know, each breath, each time my eyes open, that, you know, we have a second chance to glorify God. You know, that's why our eyes are, to glorify God. And, you know, we're here. We're His creation. We're here to serve Him. And when we choose not to serve Him and serve Satan, you know, through the alcohol, through the lust of the flesh, through all these things, we sow misery. You know, and if we just serve Him, it's the happiest a human being can be, because that's what we were made to do, is to serve Him. So, you know, we just need to all be reminded, nobody here is perfect. We are striving for that. You know, we've been called to be perfect. You know, He said, be perfect as my Father in heaven is imperfect. So we are not to say we never can. We are to strive for that. And perfection is found in Christ. But, you know, like I said, I'm just thankful for each chance to glorify Him and to hopefully not sin. You know, and that's how we glorify Him, by obeying Him. So obviously, if we're obeying Him, we won't be sinning and we'll be glorifying. But either way, God bless each and every one of you. Sabbath blessings. Thank you so much for your courage to get up and share your testimony, because that is what we're called to do, to edify one another, you know, with these stories of goodness. And He's worthy of praise. You know, He's worthy. So God bless you all. Love each and every one of you, and have a beautiful Sabbath.
Oh, there we go. My mic was turned off. Sabbath blessings, everyone. I just want to share our testimony, Amanda and my testimony on what Christ has done in our life, and understanding that when we first met, we came from such diverse backgrounds, with me being, I guess, not a practicing Roman Catholic, but understanding the workings of Catholicism, and my wife Amanda being from varied backgrounds in religions, that without Christ, we could not have come together and lived the life that we're living now. We had actually isolated ourselves once we met. We isolated ourselves from our friends, our family, and from the world for a year and a half. And we delved into the Bible. We desired to seek Jesus so much that we got into the Bible and stayed there for a year and a half. I go to work, come straight home, and, wow, what'd you find this time? She would share, I would share, and it's just amazing searching for Christ and finding all these answers. But at the same time, understanding that all the things that we knew were not right. We came to a point, and these are the things that we see God's hand move in our lives. There was a point in time where we understood more and more and more truth, but it was different from the. And we laid in bed one time, and Amanda was praying. She said, "Lord, we are so different from everyone else. We're not even sure we're on the right path." And Amanda continued to pray and say, "Lord, if it's in Your will, if You can give us a confirmation." And before she could get confirmation out, let me tell you a short little story. I have a Hunter ceiling fan on the roof of my bedroom. Been installed in 1990. This was in 2007. And I never made a sound. But as soon as my wife almost got confirmation out of her mouth, the ceiling fan acted like it lost its bearing, shook on the ceiling, and stayed that way for 30 seconds, then quit, and it hasn't made a sound since. That was our Lord's hand moved physically to let us know, don't worry, you're on the right path. Continue to do so. So we continue to do that, and that was just that was amazing. And we finally came to this place, and we found that what we had been learning in the Bible
was reflected in the brethren and then in the studies and everything we saw on this site, and we decided to be a part of it, come in and to join it. My wife and I understand that when we, that our first love is Christ. I can go to her at any time and say, baby, do you love me the most? And she'll say, no. She'll say, I love Christ the Father more. And that is true. And I do the same from her, and we understand that. As our paths have gone along, we're coming more into a full understanding of what it means to love our fellow brethren in the smallest things possible. Maybe an extra tip if you're out having dinner, or just a kind word to someone, those little things that give others hope. And sometimes that hope turns into a conversation that you can actually share the Lord. But along with that growing is the desert. You will find yourself in the desert sometimes where temptation is just unreal, and you've got to resist, and you resist through prayer and staying in the Word. And then there are times when the Lord moves in your life so much that for no reason you'll just start crying. You feel His presence within you. And it's just an emotional experience. But that is what I wanted to share today. The testimony that Christ is with us, always. And that you stay in the Word. Have a great prayer life. And then witness to others in the same ways that God has witnessed to you, where you see His hand move. Share this with other people. Because people will relate, whether in the different backgrounds we all carry. People will relate to that. And it is such an amazing message to be able to share what you've gone through with others. And then one last thing, and this is for Brother Nick. I have a Harley. And in 2004, when I bought that thing, that Harley was my idol, brother, until I found Christ. And now it is just basic transportation. God bless, and everyone have a happy Sabbath. Amen.
Good afternoon. Happy Sabbath. Am I being heard? Thank you. It's very interesting, David, that you talked about a Harley. For the last 10 years, I've owned one, bought it in 2003, an anniversary edition. Did so much work to it over the years. And just sold it a week and a half ago, got all my debts paid off, got my car paid off, and totally out of debt. It's no longer an object of my desire. I don't even miss it in the least. I am so blessed to have found this site and this church and you people here. It's just been amazing. Earlier when Pastor Nicholas was talking about revelations, I thought to myself, what a revelation. How I just learned something new every single minute of every single day. The Holy Spirit has descended upon me to the effect that I am just calm and peaceful. I don't get upset when people cut me off or do stupid things in traffic. I'm calm, I'm peaceful, and thank the Lord every day for everything I accomplish, because I can accomplish nothing without Him. It all comes through Him into me. And I ask Him every day to just use me as He sees fit. I am one of His workhorse. And my life is changing to the point where 35-year-long friends no longer want to associate with me because they can't cuss in my presence. And I know that that's just part of the norm, but I've stopped cussing for quite some time now. I've been changing my diet. I don't drink caffeinated beverages. I just trying to do all the right things that I've been learning from this church and this site and what the Bible has to say. And I give all the praise and glory to our Heavenly Father who makes all things possible. Thanks for listening, folks. Have a wonderful, happy Sabbath.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to be quick and brief here. I just want to, on behalf of the entire POGM ministry, I want to thank everyone for staying with us throughout this entire testimony service. But I want to make sure that all the guests, you know, we welcome you here, and I'm glad that that you're with us. And, you know, as Brother Nick always asks, you know, when you have time, if you want, you know, you can request your password, and it'd be wonderful to have you join us with your names. And I pray that you all have been moved and touched by the testimonies of all your brothers and sisters that are here. And we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're just glad to have you here with us. So we welcome you. Everyone here welcomes you. And just we are so thankful and glad that you're with us. So enjoy the rest of your Sabbath, and we pray that you keep the love of Christ in you in every single thing that you do. And God bless it. And brothers and sisters, wonderful testimonies and praises. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen and amen. Yeah, I just got one more here. I forgot to share. Sister June sent a letter. I just got it yesterday. And I talked about it last night with that picture and stuff like that that was in there. And I want to share part of this letter because it glorifies the Lord, you know, even with hindsight, 2020 being as it is, and how he works in our lives. Anyway, this is what she said. I'm not going to read the whole letter. I'm just going to read this one section. It says, thank you so much for all the prayers on my behalf. It was a miracle from God that he spared my life and Pat's and Linda's, of course. And I had so many people praying for me, even the hospital's night security guard, whom I don't even know. she says, my three daughters were with me in the hospital. I know the Lord was working on their hearts. They and their husbands all went to Adventist schools up through college. Andrews was their downfall. They are in my prayers so often. Isn't that sad, though, in regards to TA Church causing people to lose their faith? But here's this one section I like. It's she says, many people in the hospital were made aware of my vegan diet and were amazed at my progress. One doctor told me it was my good health condition that pulled me through. So we could see how the Lord was working. Or so he could see how the Lord, maybe, I don't know. He touched many lives, and many blessings have come out of this ordeal. So amen. His ways are not our ways. Amen and amen. So... Reginald Harris, I guess he wants to share. Because I kept jumping to the bottom of the line. I don't know if anybody noticed that. I thought that the testimonies were over, and I kept jumping to the bottom because I was going to close it out. But I guess Reginald has something he'd like to share. And then Brother David or Craig, I don't know who's singing. I don't know if Brother David has music or if Craig's wife and sister. Oh, you guys are? Okay. All right. So go ahead, Brother Reginald. Yeah, there was no sound. Make sure your mic is plugged in, or make sure it's on the bottom of the text chat there. Well, where all the names are at. I don't know. You got a picture of a drawing of a microphone and a speaker. Make sure both of them are pushed all the way to the right. And if it's already to the right, then you may have a microphone issue. But you want to try it again? You could just do it. You know, he's not typing, so. Give him a minute here. But again, praise the Lord for all these testimonies. Every week, I mean, every week. We do this on Friday night, by the way, hint, hint. But, yeah, we do it every Friday night. We have prayer, and then we have praise, and then we have study. But yeah, it's always a blessing every 3 months when the whole church family comes together and we do this on Sabbath day. And it really, really, it's like a booster shot, you know, to the arm in a good way, not the AMA stuff, you know. and I got an email from somebody, I can't remember who, but they were praying in regards to vaccines. And as they were praying in regards to vaccines last night, whether they should do this or not do it, the Lord moved me to share something about vaccines last night. He emailed me about that today, and I thought that was pretty neat. Like, let me see if I can find out who that was. I don't know if it's in here. Nope. Oh, and I got another email from somebody telling me that we are definitely censored in China. But, you know, you got to expect that. Oh. Let me see. Let me try one more thing here. Ah, it was Brother Sean. Oh, no, it wasn't. Sean had a praise in regards to his coworkers and stuff like that. It opened. There was something. What does he say here? He goes, "I've been praying for the Lord to reveal to me it was the right time to share the truth with my coworkers and my boss. One of my coworkers, who was a devout Catholic, came across one of the postings." Oh, we already did. Oh, that was no. I'm sorry. That's Mindy's. I'm clicking on the wrong one here. Okay, here it is. Yeah, it was Sean. He says, "I literally just prayed during this evening's gathering because I needed to hear you mention something about shots. And behold, a few minutes later, you mentioned not giving the children vaccines. That was like a direct answer to my prayer. I'm also in shock." And so I love it when the Lord answers prayer that quickly, too. So amen and amen and amen. But anyway, I guess we got some music from Brother Craig and everybody there. And again, thank you all for sharing so much.
Out there, okay. Ready to sing? Yeah. Anna. Okay, ready? Come here. Ready?
When he comes, we shall see the Lord in glory when he comes. As I read the gospel story, we shall see the Lord in glory, we shall see the Lord in glory when he comes. Where the Alleluia singing the sky, we the Alleluia screaming through the sky. As I read the gospel in glory, we shall see the Lord in glory, we the Alleluia screaming through the sky. When he comes, we shall hear the trumpet sounded when he comes. We shall hear the trumpet sounded, see the Lord by saints surrounded. We shall hear the trumpet sounded when he comes. With the Alleluia singing to the sky. With the Alleluia screaming through the sky. As I read the gospel in glory, we shall see the Lord in glory. With the Alleluia screaming in the sky. When he comes, we shall all rise up to meet him when he comes. We shall all rise up to meet him when he calls his song to sing. We shall all rise up to meet him when he comes. Where the Alleluia swinging to the sky. With the Alleluia swinging through the sky. As I read the gospel in glory, we shall see the Lord in glory. With the Alleluia swinging in the sky.
Amen.
Ooh. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for blessing us with all these answered prayers. It's just amazing every time we do this, every 3 months or so, and just to hear how you have moved in your people's lives, it's just really confusing when you look around and people don't seem to see you, but your people do. And when we gather like this and tell each other what's on, it just boosts our faith. It lets us, sometimes you feel like, am I the only one that's seeing this? And no, your people truly do see it. And so we thank you so much for what you have done and you are doing and continue to do. Thank you for keeping us ready, helping us in our unbelief so that we have the strength of faith and the courage to stand firm in the days ahead. Thank you for the little tests and the big tests that help us get to a point that when they try to force us to do the mark of the beast thing, that we just simply won't do it, even if they kill us. We simply won't do it. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that come now so that we can stand on that day. And thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, all those that we've lifted up last night and the ones that we didn't, because there's so many on the list. And thank you again for blessing us on this Sabbath day with your presence. And to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ.